I'm going to focus on the gospel reading because the reading we heard from Jeremiah only gives half the picture. Hananiah was actually, he was found out to be a false prophet and he came to a sticky end. So that's why I'm going to focus on Matthew. Matthew 10, 40 to 42. Now Matthew has been called the great systematizer because he gathered together all the sayings of Jesus on a particular subject in one place. And in chapter 10, it's about mission. But before I get into today's passage, let me provide some context. So if we go back to chapters 8 and 9, we read of Jesus performing many miracles in front of the disciples. And then in chapter 10, he calls out from his followers, the 12 disciples, and he sends them to tell the good news to the Jews. Now, Matthew is about giving the Jews the good news. So that's why he focuses on the Jews. He says, to the Jews, not to the Gentiles, nor to the Samaritans. And he instructs them to heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Oh, and by the way, he says, don't take any money, and don't take a change of clothes. Just rely on the hospitality of those whom you meet. So he showed them what to do, and that happens in chapters 8 and 9, and then he sent them out to do the same. It must have been a frightening brief, because as Steph explained so well last week, they couldn't see the whole picture. They were just suddenly thrust out to do what they had seen Jesus doing. And not only that, it must have been more frightening, because Jesus warns them of opposition, rejection, persecution, and suffering, and the consequences of denying him. And although he does reassure them too. Then in today's passage, which are verses 40 to 42, just three verses, we read that Jesus promises three things to the disciples. And let's look at each of them in turn. So firstly, verse 40, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. This is a remarkable statement. The disciples are not wealthy, they're not powerful, they're not influential. And yet Jesus says that welcoming them is equivalent not only to welcoming him, but also to welcoming God. And this applies to all disciples, not only the 12. And this is clear from the progression in verses 40 to 42. So he goes from the disciples to the prophets to the righteous and then to the least of these, least of his followers. And also because of other passages, for example, in the book of John, chapter 13. And certainly the early church took it this way, with hospitality, especially towards traveling Christians, teachers, and missionaries, and becoming a universal expectation. And for us, it means that we must be welcoming ourselves, and as a church community, both individually and as a church community. It is why so many of our church activities have that welcoming element, whether it's lunch club, craft club, refreshments after the service, ABC, meal train, or Alpha. That welcoming element is so important. It's part and parcel of who we are. It's part of our Christian DNA. So coming on to verse 41, whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. But what does that mean? What does prophet mean? What does righteous mean? What does reward mean? What does in the name of mean? It's a bit obscure, so let me unpack that. So firstly, a prophet is God's authorized representative, or authorized spokesperson. The emphasis is speaking for God, not on predicting future events. And note the words in the name of. Other translations I think, are better. They say, because he is. So that makes it much clearer. So the issue is not merely kindness, which of course is important, but it's also recognizing God's work and supporting that work. And this was particularly important at the time of the early church, when prophets and teachers often depended on the hospitality of others. But it applies also today, and I think of missionary friends of ours in South Africa who live by faith. I think of our mission partners, Dean and Paula Finney, and Tanka and Rita Subedi. They live by faith, and they rely on our kindness. And that's why the whole mission partner concept is so important. It's not, obviously the financial aspect is an important element of it, but it's more than that. It's also the support that they know they have through our interest in their work and through our prayers. And I remember Penny, my wife, she was studying at Cliff College, Methodist Theological College in Derbyshire, and the students were sent out on a mission, and she was sent to a tiny village in Somerset called Kingsbury Episcopi, which is about 14 miles from Yeovil. And she was taken in by a lovely couple who had, they lived a very meager existence. He used to coppice the willows and not for cricket bats, but for baskets. So that the wood that they, or the willows that they produced were used for basket weaving, which was quite an important craft in that part of Somerset. So they earned very little, but they not only opened their hearts to Penny, they opened their home to Penny, and it meant so much to her, and they did it so willingly and so joyfully, and they kept in touch right until the time that they died. It was just such a wonderful example of Christians who supported the prophets, those who were God's spokespeople. And it may not always be convenient, and sometimes it can challenge us. We have a friend who actually became Methodist Bishop of Johannesburg, and he won't tell me the story because he knows he has this fault. Time is something limitless to him. It's sort of, you know, it's a sort of a convenience and sometimes an inconvenience. And I remember we asked him for supper one evening, and he came about 2 hours late, which is a bit of a problem. And then at midnight, I had to say to him, "Paul, I've got to go to work tomorrow. You go home." So you see, sometimes it can be challenging, but it's what we are expected to do. And then a righteous person, or what is a righteous person? It's someone who lives in a way that pleases God. In other words, is faithful to God and follows Jesus' example, which is what we all try to do. And again, there are the words, because he is. So a righteous person, because he is a righteous person. And it means that each of us is a beneficiary of this, but equally, each of us has an obligation to apply it in our own lives. In other words, we need to be welcoming of other Christians. So in summary, if we welcome and support those who are God's spokespeople, and those who genuinely follow him, we will share in the reward connected to them. But what does reward mean? It means not physical or material reward, but God's approval and blessings, the joy of partnering them in their work, and the joy of knowing that we value what God values. Then coming on to verse 42, "And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The words "these little ones in the name of a disciple" are a bit confusing, and I prefer the New Living Translation, "one of the least of my followers." I find that this is much easier to understand. But it's an amazing and a challenging verse for two reasons. First of all, Jesus is not referring to children when he talks about little ones, but to those disciples who are the least impressive, the least powerful, and the most vulnerable. And in Jesus' time, a cup of cold water would have been very welcome in the Middle East on a hot day, but it would have cost very little, either in terms of money or in terms of effort. So what Jesus is saying is an insignificant act for an insignificant follower of his is not insignificant to God. It's not the grand gesture. It's just the little gestures. And I remember my mother and father, someone came along and 5 or 6 o'clock, and then time went on and they said, "Oh, why don't you stay for a meal? We'll just put another couple of potatoes in the pot." Well, you would expect them to say that because they were Irish, of course. But it was just that little gesture. Oh, well, we'll share what we've got. We'll just throw another few potatoes in the pot. It's not the big, grand gesture. And Jewish people use the word, use the word hesed to describe acts of loving kindness. And Jonathan Sacks, chief rabbi of Britain in the Commonwealth for 30 years, and a great moral teacher, describes this concept so beautifully in his book, To Heal a Fractured World. And as he put it, it costs less, but it also costs more. It costs less because its gestures often cost little or nothing. But it costs more because it takes time and attention. Existential generosity, the gift of self to self. And that's the challenge. It takes time and attention. It's all too easy just to give money, and I'm not saying that that's not important. It is important, but it goes beyond that. It's those little acts that require time and attention. So let me summarize. In just 3 verses, Jesus promises his disciples and us that he identifies himself and God with his people, that God rewards those who support his work, not materially, but in other ways. And even small acts of service done for Christ's followers have eternal significance. So what does this mean for us as we go about our daily lives? I think 2 things. Firstly, be welcoming, especially to fellow Christians and especially to those who do God's work. Secondly, don't look for the grand gesture, but look for the little acts of loving kindness, the hesed. But there's also a third, be open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You see, it's not always easy to discern what the little act of kindness should be or for whom. That is why we need to be not only ready and willing, but also listening. Amen.